Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're really glad you're with us here today. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent, but it is also, this afternoon, it will become Christmas Eve. And also really wonderful for us today is we have Bishop Bradley with us here today. Bishop Bradley, welcome.
Thank you, Deacon Louis. It's good to be here with you. Happy Advent and Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas. We've got both holidays, so another miracle in the church. And we also have Vicki Cessna with us. Vicki, welcome.
Thank you.
And we're going to read the Nativity of the Lord, the Mass during the night. We're going to read those and focus on those readings because it's the Christmas season as well. And you'll have to look at the USCCB website to look at those fourth Sunday of Advent readings as well. But we're going to read these readings that are read in Catholic churches all over the world. And of course, the churches will be full. And if you haven't been to Mass in a while, we invite you to come back. It's a great time to come back into the church. There'll be lots of people there, people who don't know anybody there. It's kind of a beautiful celebration. So we hope that you're able to make it to Mass this weekend, and if not, there's always next weekend. So we're going to start our readings with Isaiah 9, 1 through 6. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy, a great rejoicing, as they rejoice before you as at the harvest, as people make merry when dividing spoils. For the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder, and the rod of their taskmasters, you have smashed. As on the day of Midian, for every boot that trampled in battle, every cloak rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for flames. For a child is born to us, a son is given us, upon his shoulder dominion rests. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. His dominion is vast and forever peaceful, from David's throne and over his kingdom, which he confirms and sustains by judgment and justice, both now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A responsorial psalm from Psalm 96. Today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord.
Today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all you lands. Sing to the Lord, bless his name.
Today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord.
Announce his salvation day after day. Tell his glory among the nations, among all peoples, his wondrous deeds.
Today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord.
Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and what fills it resound. Let the plains be joyful and all that is in them. Then shall all the trees of the forest exult.
Today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord.
They shall exalt before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to rule the earth. He shall rule the world with justice and the peoples with his constancy.
Today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord.
A reading from the Book of Timothy. Beloved, the grace of God has appeared, saving all, and training us to reject godless ways and worldly desires, and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly in this age, as we await the blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to deliver us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people as his own, eager to do what is good. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And the gospel reading today is the reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter, the first to the 14th verse. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment, when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph, too, went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region, living in the fields, and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful gospel, wonderful readings, and a very Merry Christmas to all who are listening. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And if you're interested in anything about the Diocese of Kalamazoo, you can reach the diocese website at diokzoo.org. And we have Bishop Bradley here with us today. Bishop Bradley, welcome.
Thanks, Deacon Louis.
And Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. And the same to you and to you, Vicki, and to all those listening to us on this beautiful day. As you kind of pointed out, Deacon Louis, it's not quite Christmas yet, but it is. Here we are on this Sunday morning. And this year, it's one of those odd years, strange years, because the fourth week of Advent lasts almost less than 24 hours.
Yes.
We just have today to observe the whole fourth part of the Advent time of anticipation. But today at 4 o'clock, when we actually will kind of more or less officially end Advent and move right into the vigil for Christmas itself, we'll be celebrating the great joy of the birth of Christ that people of goodwill have been celebrating for 2,000 years and more. So it really is truly a wonderful day, and a day to wish everyone that's listening today, whatever your background, whatever your faith practice, this is a day to truly rejoice, because this event is for you. It's for everyone.
And it's kind of in a certain kind of way, you know, we've been building up to this, the anticipation of Christmas, right? But in kind of a way, it surprised us all, right? Because here it is, fourth Sunday of Advent. Usually we get 2 or 3 days to adjust. You know, Christmas will come sometime during the week or something. But boom, it's here. All of a sudden.
Well, and you kind of feel a little bit badly for those that always work behind the scenes for us and try to make sure that, at least in the church settings, the Advent wreaths are moved aside, and the poinsettias and all the beautiful images, the manger scene and everything is put out. There's not a whole lot of time to do that. To your point, Deacon Louis, I think we have an abrupt turnaround time from the end of Advent to the beginning of Christmas, but I think we can all manage that.
Absolutely. And of course, the readings are a little bit different. People will realize that if they go to Mass tonight, there's actually 4 different readings. So depending on what time you go to Mass, whether it be Christmas Eve or midnight Mass or early in the morning on Christmas or even Christmas, later Christmas Day, you might have a little bit different readings. You're going to have different readings.
Well, and I think that says something to us about how the Church views this Christmas a solemnity. Mm-hmm. It really is the most beautiful and most special feast of the year, really, we could say. And to reflect that, as you just pointed out, there are four different Mass settings to celebrate Christmas. Typically, you know, for big important feasts, even Easter, you know, if you come to the vigil, to the Easter vigil, the readings are still somewhat similar.
Mm-hmm.
The liturgy is a little bit different, but the readings are pretty much the same. But today, as you point out, there are four different sets of readings. So for those that go to the vigil Mass this evening, to what we sometimes call the Children's Mass or the Family Mass, the readings are going to be perhaps not even in some ways feel like Christmas, because the Gospel is going to be the genealogy of Jesus.
That's right.
The tracing of in Matthew's account, 14:28, 42 different generations of people that lead up to Jesus, three sets of 14
That's
generations.
Right. Yes.
And so, you know, people that go to Mass tonight say, well, where's the Christmas story? Well, it's right there. It's
yes.
in the genealogy of Jesus.
That's right.
That brings it right up to the point that says that he was going to be born. The readings we just read now are the readings that will be celebrated for the Mass that we sometimes typically call the Mass at midnight, although many parishes adjust the time of that they celebrate this Mass so that it perhaps if there are elderly people or whatever, they might celebrate this Mass maybe at 10 o'clock or at 9 o'clock even. But this is the Mass during the night. The cathedral, we will celebrate this Mass at midnight.
Awesome.
And everyone is welcome. Please feel free to come. It's a beautiful Mass in the middle of the night, when we believe that's when this blessed event took place. In the darkness of night, in the dead of winter, that the light of Christ was born. And then there's another set of readings for those that come to Mass early on Christmas Day, the readings for the Mass at dawn, it's called. And then if you come to Mass later on in the day on Christmas, there's the set of readings that are called the Mass for during the day. That too would be a Mass. If you come, you say, isn't this Christmas? Where's the Christmas story?
Right.
Because those readings really don't talk at all about the birth of Christ. In a way, they do. They talk about the beginning of John's Gospel, when he reflects very beautifully theologically, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's a beautiful reflection. That's John's way of talking about the birth of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So there are different sets of readings for different times of the day. These readings that we just heard are really telling us the traditional story of how the birth of Christ came about. And it's truly a beautiful and moving story, no matter how many years removed from the historical fact we are.
Right, and I think, you know, whenever we think about Isaiah, and we talked about this is about a month ago, and we were getting ready, you know, we always think about Isaiah, you know, we know that, you know, it gives that feel of Christmas. You know, they even that word Mary is in this, you know, M-E-R-R-Y, making Mary, you know, that this, all these things, this great promise that has come to us this day.
Well, the reading particularly that we hear today from Isaiah, as you say, in fact, interestingly, if we look at all four sets of readings, Isaiah, the first reading is from Isaiah in each of the those four Mass settings. So Isaiah truly is the prophet that we look to that really did foretell the coming of the Messiah. But for any people that are listening that are devotees of Handel's Messiah, they'll also know that Isaiah's words are extracted and used for the theme of many of the songs during that beautiful work that Handel produced that we know as the Messiah. And the words that we hear today from that first reading, a child is born to us, a son is given to us, upon his shoulders dominion rests. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. Those words are gloriously proudly and loudly proclaimed in that beautiful rendition of Handel's Messiah.
Absolutely. So any thoughts on any of these, either the first reading or the second or the gospel, whatever you'd like to get into, Bishop?
Well, what are we talking about here with Christmas? Christmas is really, why is it so special? You know, why is this such an important feast? We sometimes use the phrase, you know, heaven and earth that merge. This is really the night, the moment that God entered into human history.
Yes.
In the most incredibly and profound way that anybody could imagine. We couldn't even imagine it.
Right.
Who would imagine that God, from in his divinity and his all-powerful nature, would humble himself enough to be born just like we are, just like every one of us, to be conceived in through the power of the Holy Spirit, of course, in the womb of Mary, but to be conceived and grow and develop. It's the Word of God that is truly incarnate. It's the Word made flesh who dwells among us. And that's what is just incredible.
Yes.
It boggles our mind to even try to grasp that. Well, why would God do that? Why do you think God did that?
Well, who can resist a baby, right?
Well, that's true.
And I think it also shows a great vulnerability. I think it's a, we think about that with the Eucharist. We think about that with our devotion to the Blessed Mother. We think about that with all the things that happen in the church and things that we believe in the church, that you take a certain amount of risk to believe these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think God is challenging us with that. Even today, take a chance on me. And, I always say to people, who wants to hold the baby, Christmas time, And it's great to hold the baby, but, there's work involved, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's work involved, too. And Vicki knows that, there's work involved in raising children. But, I think it's a very beautiful and interesting thought.
Well, I think it's an important question that we have to ask ourselves. Why did God do this? Yes, I think you're right. I think he certainly made himself vulnerable, and hopefully in that sense irresistible. But it's an expression of his love.
Mm.
We struggle. Later on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve tonight, and all day tomorrow, we're going to be hopefully. Everyone that's listening will hopefully be with some family and friends. And typically, we try to celebrate this day by giving one another gifts. It's not just something we, run down to Walgreens and pick off the shelf and say, oh, that'll do. We try to give some thought to it and what's going to be something that's going to make this person happy.
Mm.
Well, that's what God did.
Mm.
What's going to make the human race happy at the core of their being? Because the human race got off track through committing the first original sin, where our forefathers and mothers, our Adam and Eve, thought what was going to make them happy was, well, we can be as good as God, maybe even better.
Right.
And so they ate the fruit of the tree, the forbidden fruit, and you know, sin entered into the picture. And ever since then, the human race kind of got off track and has a different or distorted sense of what really makes us happy. All the while, God knows what makes us happy.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows what really makes us happy is when we're one with Him.
Yes.
And so how did He do that? Well, I'll go to them then.
Yeah.
I'll become one with them in Jesus. And that, you talk about thinking about what's the greatest gift you can give. I mean,
yeah.
God thought long and hard.
Yeah.
I mean, for eternity, to think about what is it going to take to reunite us.
Yeah.
So.
And I think on that thought too, Bishop, you know, what you're saying, you know, is that the greatest gift, and what God is saying, the greatest gift that we can give is ourselves
mm-hmm.
to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Vicki, any thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think that Jesus coming, obviously, as a baby and as the humblest of circumstances,
mm-hmm.
was to have a shared experience and to make the point of coming as humbly and as, you know, like in the songs, as lowly, you know,
that's
as
right.
possible, and yet, mm-hmm. You know, it was just the opposite, back to what makes us happy. You can
mm-hmm.
come in and you know, I think we've said this, he could have come in like a Super Bowl halftime show, but
sure.
he doesn't do that.
Right. Yeah.
He comes in a cave and the angels wake up the shepherds who, you know, were sleeping and kind of like us, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's what I always think about, like,
sure.
hey, you know, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And so those, I think, wonderful little cues for us to think about.
Mm-hmm. Very beautiful. So, you know, this one account, and this goes right in line with what you're saying, Bishop Bradley, was this divine work that surpasses all human understanding and possibility. I love that piece that's in the Catechism, because it's like, that's what it's like, the spiritual life is like. You know, that you're not going to understand all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to understand all these things. But it is so profound to talk about, to go to Mass, to meditate, to listen, to try to build this relationship with God one day at a time, one week at a time, and also try to heal those relationships, you know, that maybe we need to offer some forgiveness to family members. You know, this is a time of year where family gets together and things are never perfect,
mm-hmm.
you know, but the church has a way for us to mend those relationships too.
Mm-hmm.
Through reconciliation, not only for ourselves, but with our brothers and sisters.
But it all begins with Jesus, right?
Amen.
And
Amen.
That's the, I think that's where heaven and earth meet today in this, or on that first Christmas, certainly met in a way that has never changed.
Mm.
So up until then, heaven and earth were separate. You know, God lived in where God lives, and we lived where we lived, and there would be communication back and forth as God revealed himself through the prophets of old, and, you know, prophets would try to deliver the message, hey, you should return to the Lord and change whatever ways that are godless ways, but, I mean, there were still a separation, a rift, a chasm.
Right.
Christmas unites heaven and earth in a way that just doesn't ever change. You know, we don't have to, you know, go out to, we kind of go out and gaze in the stars and all of that and think about what's all beyond and how vast the world is and how beautiful and amazing creation is. But God's with us.
Yes.
You know, we don't have to go to looking and searching. He's come to be with us.
Yes.
We don't have to look under the rocks or go into any place. You know, God has come to be one with us, and that's what we rejoice in and celebrate. God came to find us who were wandering and lost and gone astray. And so, I mean, it's not rocket science. You know, it's not hard. You know, if we don't know God, it's not God's fault.
Yeah.
We don't know Him.
Yes,
it's our fault, really. And so, to your point, what do we do with all of this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the initiative. God took the initiative. Now It's up to us.
Right.
So what are we going to do with this? I think St. Paul, you know, talks about it in the second reading that we heard today. You know, that training us to reject godless ways and worldly desires and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly in this age as we await the blessed hope, the coming at the end of all time or at the end of our lives, when we'll be with God truly in an eternal way. But until then, we're supposed to be now trying to respond to this initiative that God has taken in bringing Jesus to unite us, to save us, to reconcile the world, and to remain with us now and always.
Amen. So we just have about 3 or 4 minutes left.